This evening, we're going to be talking about overcoming prayerlessness. Overcoming prayerlessness. The theme of this year is seeking God diligently. Seeking God diligently. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. Those who seek me will find me. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So there is an element of diligence included in seeking the Lord. The Lord is saying, only those who seek me diligently will find me. You can't find me when you seek me casually. You can't seek me when you find me normally. You must engage an essence of diligence in your seeking in order to encounter the Lord. That is what God is saying. And we cannot talk about seeking the Lord diligently without prayer. I believe when we talk about seeking the Lord diligently, the primary factor that constitutes the seeking of the Lord is prayer. When if prayer is absent in seeking the Lord, then whatever you're doing is not seeking the Lord. Because prayer forms the core, prayer forms the foundation of seeking the Lord. And one of the struggles that we have, many of us have, is prayerlessness. Many of us are struggling with prayer. But how can we overcome this prayerlessness? How can we overcome this prayerlessness? Now, before then, let me talk about what is prayerlessness. What is prayerlessness? Prayerlessness refers to a state or condition in which an individual neglects or abstains from engaging in prayer. It signifies a lack of communication and communion with God, often resulting in a diminished or non-existent prayer. Now, prayerlessness does not always mean non-existent prayer. So when we talk about prayerlessness, it doesn't always mean that you are not praying. It can also mean insufficient prayer compared to what is required. Insufficient prayer compared to what is required. For example, if I, as a pastor, maybe begin to pray 1 hour every day, that would be insufficient prayer, because the responsibility that I have spiritually as a pastor will not be sustained by an hour of prayer. More is needed to sustain the activities that I carry as a pastor spiritually. You see, it is not a lack of eating that causes malnutrition. It is not a lack of eating that causes malnutrition. It is a lack of nutrients. It is the lack of nutrients in the food we eat that causes malnutrition. You may be eating a lot of food. If that food does not have the nutrients required by your body, even though you're putting a lot in your body, you will still be malnourished. So, prayerlessness is when our prayer cannot generate sufficient nutrients to keep us spiritually healthy. Prayerlessness is when we are not able to generate sufficient spiritual nutrients to keep us healthy. So you're praying, you're engaging in prayer, but nothing is coming out from that prayer to sustain you or to keep you healthy. It is prayerlessness. So if in God's calendar, you're supposed to be at level 5, and you're still praying level 2 prayer, it's prayerlessness. You may be praying every day, maybe praying 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour every day. But at the level where God expects you to be, that may be prayerlessness. So let's talk about some causes of prayerlessness. Some causes of prayerlessness. Number one, busyness and distraction. Busyness and distraction. When you read Matthew chapter 10, you see the encounter that Jesus had when Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And when he got there, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to the word of God. And Martha was in the kitchen cooking. And then Martha even got offended and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is sitting right there listening to you and will not help me in the preparation?" Because according to Martha, she was doing something legitimately important. She was trying to cook in order to entertain Jesus and his guests. And you know, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus did not move around alone. He had 12 disciples, and oftentimes he'd be followed by a crowd. So Martha had to prepare a big meal in order to entertain Jesus and his guests. Now you will think Jesus will be grateful and say, "Oh, Martha, thank you so much that you are so thoughtful. You know, you thought about me and my guests. You're trying to cook something for us to eat." But in Luke chapter 10, 41 and 42, when Martha launches complaint to Jesus, Jesus responds and says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And your sister has chosen it." So Martha was truly worried about the issues that will benefit Jesus, also the interest of Jesus. But Jesus was not concerned about Martha's worries, because nothing can substitute for being in the presence of the Lord. Nothing can substitute for sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. So many of us cannot pray because we are busy and distracted with the worries of life. You're worried about your husband, your wife, your kids, your family, your problems, and that has become a preoccupation in your heart that is distracting you from the place of prayer. Sometimes we can be so busy even with God. There are Christians who are busy with God, pastors who are busy with God, but not spending time with God. You could be working for the Lord. You're spending all night sitting there doing things for God, but you don't have time to sit in the presence of the Lord. You're preparing for an event. You spend hours upon hours preparing for that event, making sure everything is going to look good, but you've not spent 1 hour to talk to the God that you're trusting to bless that event. So you're busy and distracted. Busy and distracted. Many of us are distracted by our jobs, distracted by our careers, distracted by the things of this life. Number two is spiritual dryness. Spiritual dryness. In Psalm 63 verse 1, David says, "You God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." So dryness speaks of lack of passion, lack of enthusiasm or burden for prayer. You have no desire to pray whatsoever. In this state, you find it annoying or irritating to pray. And when people pray around you, you are uncomfortable when there is spiritual dryness. There is no desire in you to pray. There is no passion to pray. And sometimes when you find yourself in a place where people are praying, or you even force yourself to pray, you fall asleep. Because there is no desire, there is no passion to drive you in the place of prayer. So there is dryness. Number three, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It says, "Because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." See, knowledge is essential for effective and consistent prayer. When people lack knowledge on how to pray or the essence of prayer, prayer will become an optional practice. When we do not have knowledge on how to pray, prayer becomes an optional practice. If we really had knowledge and understanding of what is going on in the realm of the spirit, we will be more prayerful. If God opened your eyes to see what is happening in the spirit realm, what is happening in your family spiritually, many of us will become prayer warriors. The fact that we're not engaging in prayers as we ought to is due to lack of knowledge, ignorance. We don't have understanding of the spiritual realm. We don't have understanding of what the enemy is doing. And so we are relaxed. And so we don't really give ourselves to prayer. How would your prayer life change if you were told that all the defeats that you've experienced in your life was a result of prayerlessness? All the disappointments, all the people that died in your family, all the shame you experienced. What if you were told that all those things happened because of your prayerlessness? How would your prayer life change? So, many of us cannot pray adequately because we lack knowledge. We lack knowledge on how to pray. We lack knowledge on what is going on in the spirit. And so we just become complacent and we're not praying. Number four, obstacle to prayer is sin and guilt. Sin and guilt. Sin and guilt. You have heard me say, a prayerful Christian cannot continue sinning, and a sinning Christian cannot continue praying. When a man is guilty, he cannot stay in the place of prayer. Guilt, the guilt of sin has a powerful way of repelling you from the presence of God. It's like a mosquito repellent. It will just drive you away from the presence of the Lord. We remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible said that then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Why? Because they had sinned. Once sin crept in, the very man that used to long for fellowship with God, now when he heard the voice of God, he ran away because of the guilt of sin. When a man is living in sin, that guilt will not allow him to spend time in the presence of the Lord, especially if he's not willing to repent. That guilt of sin. So, when you see a person going away from prayer, it could be an indication that they are not living right. Because no one who has a sound mind, who has a conscience, will live in sin and feel free standing in the presence of the Lord praying when they know they are not right with God. The guilt of sin. Not only does sin hinder us from praying, it renders our prayer ineffective. Praying in sin for 1 year is equivalent to not praying for 1 year. Praying in sin for 1 year is equivalent to not praying at all for 1 year. Because David says in Psalm 66 verse 18, he says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. If there was sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. So if you pray in sin for 1 year, God will not hear you for 1 year. Number five, doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. In James 1:6, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Believing in the ability of God is a great motivation to consistent prayer. When doubt and unbelief kicks in, then prayer becomes a struggle. When we begin to doubt what God can do, we begin to doubt the ability of God, prayer will become a struggle. No one cultivates a land, a farm, a plantation, knowing fully well that this land or this plantation will produce nothing. You would stop working on it. If you knew that I'm going to plant on this land, but there is a guarantee I will not have anything, nobody will engage in such a useless farming project. So when we have lost trust or we've ceased to believe in the ability of God, we'll also cease to pray. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." He rewards those who earnestly seek him. The belief that God will reward our efforts in prayer is a motivation for persistency in prayer. The belief that God will reward our efforts. If we believe that as we are going to pray, God will hear us, God will answer us, that becomes a motivation for us to stay in a place of prayer. Number six, hindrance. Number six cause of prayerlessness is lack of discipline. Lack of discipline. In 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, "Train yourselves to be godly." Train yourselves to be godly. You have to train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Prayer is not a natural activity. So for us to become acquainted with prayer, we must undergo training. We must undergo training. There is no skill, whether physical or spiritual, that did not come from discipline. Prayer will never become a routine if we don't cultivate discipline. You have to be disciplined about your time, the time you designated for prayer. If not, something will occupy that time. You have to become disciplined about the time you have designated for prayer. If not, something will occupy that time. Number seven, cause of prayerlessness is disappointment or unanswered prayer. Disappointment or an unanswered prayer. You see, some people have stopped praying because they prayed in the past and didn't receive an answer. So you hear people say, "If God truly answers prayer, how come after all the prayers, my mother still died? I was still fired from that job. I still miscarry. I cannot conceive. I lost everything. I still got into that accident. I was still defeated. You know, how come after all these prayers, all these things still happen?" Now let me say this. The lack of answer to prayer is not God's fault. If our prayers are not answered, it is never God's fault. God is not sitting in heaven like a wicked man who has resources in his hands and hoping that if we can cry to him and beg him enough, then he will give it to us. It's like a student who goes to school and fails an exam. Then he says school is a scam and all these academic institutions are useless. It is not the school's fault. It is your fault. In Psalms 27 verse 14, it says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Wait for the Lord. Whatever we do not obtain from God is not God's fault. There is something we've not done right, which has caused that answer to be delayed. Number eight, cause of prayerlessness is self-reliance, depending on self, self-reliance. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." You see, some people do not pray because they count on their strength and effort. They have become masters of themselves. They have set up structures, and those structures are working for them. So why do I pray when I have enough money in my bank account? Why do I pray when I have all that I need? I'm not sick. I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. Why do I pray? So since everything is working and there seems to be no problem in your life, you may not understand the essence of prayer. Listen, the appearance of things working is not an evidence that things are all round good. The devil may be using that situation as a deceptive tool to wreck your life. If you have ever seen how maggots eat up cocoyams or any kind of tuber. They do not eat it from outside. They eat it from inside. So you can take a tuber of yam, for example, and it looks healthy and strong outside. But the moment you cut it, you see that maggots have eaten the inside. So there are people who look good outside. They look well. They're financially strong. Everything looks good. But meanwhile, inside, the devil is wrecking their lives. So just because everything looks cool and calm outside does not suggest that everything is okay. There are many people who have been deceived to rely on their strength. Number 9, cause of prayerlessness is lack of accountability. Lack of accountability. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Now, if there is no one you answer to about your spiritual life, then when you stop praying, or when your spiritual life begins to go down, there will be no structure put in place to help you or to help get you restoration. It is very advisable to have a mentor or an accountability partner who helps you, who helps to check in with you about your spiritual life. Very important. You must have a sister, a brother, a friend, someone who can check in with you to say, hey, how are you doing? It's been 2 weeks. I've not seen you praying. I've not seen you on the prayer line. I've not seen you in church. What is going on? That way, they keep you going. If there is no one like that in your life, the day you fall, nobody will know. And number 10 is unhealthy priorities. Unhealthy priorities. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When God is not first in your life, prayer cannot be first. Prayer cannot be a priority. When God is not first, prayer cannot be your priority. The reason why we can stay awake throughout the night at an event like a wedding, baby shower, funeral, and all these celebration events, but we cannot dedicate that same time for prayer or that same time to be with the Lord, is because it's not a priority. We have misplaced priority. We prioritize things that have no contribution to our spiritual lives. We prefer to stay awake watching movies, chatting, playing games, because seeking God is not our priority. Unhealthy priorities. Now let's talk about practical steps to overcoming prayerlessness. Practical steps to overcoming prayerlessness. Number one, acknowledge the problem. Acknowledge that you have a prayerlessness issue. Acknowledge that you are struggling with prayer. You see, in Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever covers their sin or their weakness will not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them will find mercy. When you begin to confess and say, I'm struggling with my prayer, I'm struggling with this issue, that is when help can be sent. As long as you continue to act strong, when you come among those that are prayerful, you act too like you're a prayer warrior. But you know that you are struggling. It's been weeks you've not prayed, but the moment you show up at church, you act like you're a prayer machine. You are using corporate activities to cover your prayerlessness. The moment you join with other prayerful people, you are praying so radically like you have a prayer life. Meanwhile, you know out of that prayer you just prayed in church, there is nothing happening in your prayer life. Acknowledge that you have a problem. The solution to every problem always begins by recognizing and admitting that there is a problem. If you don't admit there is a problem, the problem will never be solved. Number two, reflect on the importance of prayer. You must get to a place where you've understood that prayer is important. Prayer is not a religious activity designated by the church for you. Prayer is important. Prayer is not a religious ritual. Prayer is important. Reflect and listen to messages about prayer. and understand the importance of prayer. You must understand why you are praying and don't forget in the course of time. You must develop reasons in your mind why you are praying and remember those reasons. It will keep you in the place of prayer. Number three, set priorities. Set priorities. As we read in Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God must become first. It must become first. Let there be a place prepared and a time consecrated for prayer. Set priorities. If you say you want to pray, make that prayer a priority. You know, if we have a doctor's appointment, for example, like today, I had a doctor's appointment to take my son for a checkup for me yesterday. And I make sure that the appointment was at 3:50. I make sure I pick him up from school on time. And I drive there on time to make sure I am there at that appointment. And everything that I was doing on that yesterday was revolving around that appointment. I had to make sure that some things were done earlier in order to give me time to be at this appointment. When prayer becomes your priority, you will do things to make sure that that time designed for prayer is not hindered. It's not hindered. If someone had to come and visit you, maybe your prayer time was 4 p.m. and you know someone was coming to visit you, you don't accept visits at that time. But what we often do is that we'll tell the person, okay, just come. They come at 3:30, they stay till 5, that day prayer has been canceled. The next day, something again happened. Before you know it, you've gone a week without praying because you've not set prayer as a priority. Number four, designate a place, a space, and a time for prayer. Designate a space and a time for prayer. Setting a time and a place of prayer is a great motivation for prayer. Let it be a place, allocated, and a time designated for prayer. If you say, okay, every day, my prayer time, for those who wake up in the night to pray, I'll pray from 3 to 4. I'll pray from 4 to 5. Or maybe you pray in the evening, you say, I'll pray from 7 to 8. Designate a time for prayer. And not only time, have a location where you meet with God. Have a location where you meet with God. The reason why, when God came to the Garden of Eden, he was calling Adam, it's not because God didn't know where Adam was located. It's because Adam had left the place where he usually met with God. There was a time and a place where Adam met with God. No one goes on a date or have an appointment without time and location. You can't tell a friend, okay, we're going to meet. Let's meet somewhere. But there is no location and there's no time. That meeting will never happen. And the reason why we are not consistent in prayer is because we don't have a place or a time. So the appointment never happens. Number five, start small. Start small. In Zechariah 4:10, it says, despise not the beginning of little things. Despise not the beginning of little things. Now, what does this mean? Do not go into prayer thinking because you've heard some people say they pray for 4 hours, you too will pray 4 hours. You'll be frustrated. You have to start small. You may start 15 minutes. After praying 15 minutes for like a month, you realize, okay, you've developed stamina to go above 15 minutes, you go to 30. After praying for 30, maybe for months, you go again to another level, maybe 45 or 1 hour. You keep increasing. Don't just come the first day and think, okay, because you heard this man of God on Facebook saying, I pray 10 hours. Now you want to pray 10 hours. You'll be so discouraged that you will cease praying. Start small. Be consistent with your small. And that small will continue to grow and grow and grow. Before you know it, you become like a testimony you used to hear. Number six, seek accountability. Seek accountability. Now we said, in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. This is the reason why sometimes in church, we try to keep people accountable. It's not that people lack what to do. It's all about caring for one another to make sure that we are all running this race. No one is left behind. But if you are a lone ranger, a one-man army, and nobody knows what you're doing spiritually, the day you stumble, nobody will know. The day you fall, nobody will know. And falling always begins by prayerlessness, because there is no man who will stay active in the place of prayer and fall. When the devil wants to take you away, the first thing the devil will do is cut off your prayer life. Once he cut you off from that supernatural supply, then now he has the power to take you away. But if you have someone who is holding you accountable, they will notice that something is changing your life and they can bring you back. But if you are a one-man army and you don't answer to anybody, you are the commander, you are the author and finisher of your own life, then the day you are falling, no one can help you. Number 7, join a prayer group. If you want to learn how to pray and to stay consistent in prayer, join a prayer group. Join in Matthew 18:26, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. So sometimes for you to cultivate that presence, that power, you know, it's now when you go, you want to start a fire. You take a stick, you go to where fire is already burning, and you keep that stick there for some time. When that stick also catches fire, then you cannot take that stick and then start your own fire. So you join a group that is on fire. And in that group, you will catch the fire. You cannot take that fire to your private altar and set it up. This is why corporate prayer is very important. Join a prayer group. And number 8 is practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, give thanks. If you always come before God with complaints, with requests, with asking, with give me, give me, give me, give me, and you don't take time to really thank the Lord, you may never encounter God. And then prayer becomes like, am I really achieving anything from this prayer? Is God really hearing me as I pray? Because you've never felt his presence. You've never seen any sign that God is even there where you are praying. In Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. I have said this over and over. Thanksgiving is the access, is the password to the presence of the Lord. If you learn how to thank him, you will encounter him. If you learn how to give him praise, he will be revealed in your life. And sometimes our prayers are not working, or we don't feel motivated to pray because you pray, and there is no supernatural sign to confirm that God is even listening to the things you're saying. But imagine how different it would be if you went to pray, and as you bowed on your head, you saw angels. You'll be motivated to go and go. You imagine what happened to Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter saw Jesus transfigured, then he saw Moses and Elijah. He said, Master, let us build 3 tents in this place. One for Moses, one for you, one for Elijah. They did not think about themselves. They did not think about themselves. They were focused on Jesus, Moses, and Elijah because there was something attractive about the presence of the Lord. The reason why sometimes people become discouraged in prayer is because they're praying as like just praying in the wilderness. It's dry. They're not experiencing anything. So you must learn how to thank God. Practice gratitude. Learn how to thank him. And number 9 And the last is persist in faith. Persist in faith. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If you pray this week and you feel like you don't get anything, you become discouraged, you give up, you go 1, 2, 3 months, maybe you hear one message again about prayer, you come back, you do another 2 weeks, you give up, you may never get an answer to that prayer. Consistency is key if you must receive an answer in the place of prayer. That's what we must pray with faith, because faith will cause you to persevere. Faith will cause you to persist. Faith will cause you to stay even when there is no sign that anything is happening. You must pray with faith. You must know that God is sovereign. And what that means is that God will do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. He owes nobody an answer to how he does his things. He is sovereign. He can do it however he wants, whenever he wants, whenever he wants. He owes nobody an answer. So if you come before God seeking anything from God and you are rushing, you may never get the answer. So we must pray with faith and belief that God will answer us eventually. It doesn't matter how long it takes, he would answer. If you go through the scriptures, you see how long people waited on the Lord. Abraham waited 25 years. Joseph was in prison 12 years. How long was Elizabeth barren? But people never gave up. They persisted. They waited until God showed up. So one of the reasons why people do not pray is lack of faith. They don't believe anymore. Unbelief. This prayer is not working. But when you have faith, that faith keeps you praying. Even though I see nothing, I feel nothing, I sense nothing, but I know God is listening to me. So we keep praying, we keep trusting, we keep pushing, because we know the God we serve, he will eventually answer. So today, we've talked about the causes of prayerlessness. The causes of prayerlessness. And we said, number one cause was busyness and distraction. Number two was spiritual dryness. Number three was lack of knowledge. Number four was sin and guilt. Number five is doubt and unbelief. Number six is lack of discipline. Seven is disappointment or unanswered prayers. Eight is self-reliance, depending on self. Nine is lack of accountability. And 10 is unhealthy priorities. And now to overcome prayerlessness, we said, you must acknowledge that you have a prayerlessness issue. Number two, reflect on the importance of prayer. Number four, set priorities. Let prayer become one of your priorities. Number four, designate a space and a time to pray. Number five, start small. Don't think I'm going to just become a prayer giant. Start from somewhere. Number six, seek accountability. Find someone who can hold you accountable, someone you can answer to if things are not going well. Number seven, join a prayer group. We have prayers going on every morning. Endeavor to join. Number eight, practice gratitude. Learn to thank God. Learn, even if you pray and nothing is happening, thank God for what he's done already. And number nine, persist in faith. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We say, take all the glory, my Father. Take all the honor. Take all the adoration. Grant us the grace to pray in the name of Jesus. You say men ought always to pray and not to faint. We pray by this knowledge we've received today, Lord, give us the grace to pray. Let every obstacle hindering our prayer life be removed in the name of Jesus. Let every obstacle hindering our prayer lives be removed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.